I have a question for you today, and that question is, have you seen the Lord? Have you seen the Lord? Now, Jacob, describing his experience at Bethel, he said this, I've seen the Lord. This is indeed the house of God. I have seen the Lord. The hymn writer put it this way, I've been to Calvary. I can say I've seen the Lord. I've been to Calvary. And then he describes how he has seen the Lord through the witness of his word. But I've seen the Lord. Now listen to Job. And here's my text. This text is found in Job 42, verses 5 and 6. And Job said, Lord, I've heard of you. I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear. But now, mine eye seeth thee. Mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore, I abhor myself and I repent in dust and ashes. Now, I'm especially interested in what Job had to say here. And I want us to examine his words, these two verses, very carefully, each phrase, each statement. Now, the first thing he said was this. Job was a religious man. God said a righteous man who hated sin, avoided evil. And he commended him even to Satan. But something happened here in chapter 42 of the book of Job. Something different, something exceptional, something outstanding happened to this man. And I want us to look at what he said. Now, I don't know what it was. I can't explain. Yes, you want me to tell you when Job was saved? I'm not going to do it. But I'm going to tell you something that happened to him here according to his own testimony. Now, here's what he said first. He said, I've heard of thee. Lord, I've heard of thee. I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. Now, there are very few people on the face of this earth who've not heard of God. That's right. You can travel anywhere you want to and ask anybody you want to, have you ever heard of God? Well, I've heard of God. I've heard of God. Even in Russia, they've heard of God. In Yugoslavia, they've heard of God. In Australia, they've heard of God. In Africa, they've heard of God. Everybody's heard of God. Because God speaks to us about Himself in creation. That's right. God, one of the Psalms says there's not a tongue, not a language in which God's voice is not heard. Talking about the things God's made. There's not a language on earth in which God's voice is not heard. And it says in Romans 1:19, because that which may be known of God is manifest even to the heathen. For God hath shown it to them. For the things of God are clearly revealed, clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. So Job said, I've heard of you, Lord. He heard the voice of creation just like you've heard the voice of creation. And I've heard the voice of creation. I've heard of God. There's not a language in which His voice is not heard. And then God speaks to us by His law. When He thundered that law at Sinai, it echoed throughout the whole earth. Throughout the whole earth. We've heard God speak in His law. What the law saith, it saith to everyone born under the law. But the law is not only written on stone, and the voice of God was not only heard from the mountain, but Almighty God's law is written on men's hearts. Did you know that? And on their consciences. All of our lives we've heard about the conscience. Well, you know what the conscience is? It's simply the written law, written on the heart. That's exactly right. Romans 2:14 says, when the heathen, which have not the written law, do by nature the things contained in the law, when, in other words, when they respond and when they do by nature what the law commands them to do or not to do, this shows the law of God written on their hearts, their conscience bearing witness. Now, you can't deny that. I just read it to you out of God's Word. The law is written on the heart. God, I've heard of you. My conscience has told me about you, God. My conscience has told me about you, about your law. I don't know a whole lot about you, but I do know I've heard that voice. They call it that still, small voice. the conscience. All right, God has spoken to us by the prophets. By the prophets. From the beginning, God has not left himself without a witness. God has been pleased to send prophets. Prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet. God has sent into this world. Hebrews 1:1 says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake to our fathers. How did he speak to them? By the prophets. By the prophets. God has spoken to us. When Job said, I've heard of you, he had heard of him. And you've heard of him too. And I've heard of him. And every son of Adam almost has heard of God. And I say almost because I want to leave room for some margin of error there, but most every man has heard of God. Not only that, but God has spoken to us by His Son. By His Son. Jesus Christ came into this world. Only a fool or a man with no mind at all could deny that fact. He came into this world. Hebrews 1 says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake to our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son. I've heard of you, Lord. I've heard of you through Jesus Christ. The Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And God said from heaven, this is my beloved Son, hear him. And we've heard him. Men despised him and rejected him and spit upon him and nailed him to a cross and would not have this man reign over them, but they heard him. And I'll tell you this, it's a little jewel for you to remember all the days of your life. God not only holds you responsible for what you heard, but for what you could have heard and wouldn't hear. Now, don't ever forget that. What you could have heard and wouldn't hear, what you could have read and wouldn't read, God will hold you responsible. So many other ways we've heard of God. At the birth of Christ, the angel spake and said, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. The angels came from heaven, brought that message to men. And then at his baptism, God spake from heaven and said, this is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. At the glorification of Christ on the mountain, God spake again. He said, this is my Son. God, I've heard of you. I've heard of you. At his resurrection, the angels stood outside the empty tomb and they said, he's not here. He's not here. He's risen. And then at his ascension, these same angels stood and said this. Said, the same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. We've heard of him. And then God has spoken to us by his word. There's scarcely a home in America, scarcely a motel room, scarcely a prison cell or a hospital room in which there's not a Bible. The Bible has been translated in over 900 languages. His word is preached. Now, I know it's not preached very well. I know that. And it's preached out of contention and competition and every other way. It's preached by some who love it and some who don't love it and some who are trying to prosper through it and some who want the glory of God to prosper through it. But it's preached. It's preached. The word is preached. It's read. So we're without excuse. And we'll have to say with Job, Lord, I've heard of you. There's not a one of you out there now, not a single person listening to my voice that can't say with Job, Lord, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. And I tell you this, I might add, as was added in each of those scriptures I read, talking about the creation, God speaking through creation, and God speaking through conscience, and God speaking through laws. So then, they are without excuse. I've heard of you. But now Job speaks of a different revelation other than the hearing of the ear. He speaks of a whole new experience. Here this man, he must have been up in years. He had 10 grown children. He was a wealthy man of influence and power and prestige. He is a man of whom God said that he's a righteous man. But here this man speaks of a new experience, a different revelation. He said, but now, mine eye seeth thee. I've heard of you. And most religious people, that's about all we can say. I've heard of the Lord. I've heard of him. I've heard of him. Know him? but I've heard of him. Seen him, but I've heard of him. Most everyone's heard of God. Dost thou believe that there's one God? James says, dost thou believe in one God? Thou doest well. The devil, he got that much sense. He got that much revelation. The devil believes and trembles in fear. He believes there's one God. But there's some who have seen the Lord with anointed eyes of faith. Listen to this scripture. John 6:40. And our Lord Jesus Christ, prior to this, in verse 37, he said, all that my Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I'll lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. Now watch this next verse. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son, this is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm preaching about. I'm not preaching about divine purpose. I'm not preaching about divine election. I'm not preaching about divine providence right now. I'm not preaching about God's divine choice. Christ has already spoke about that. But then he says, and these same people that the Father gave me, for whom I came to redeem, and they will come. But he said, they're going to see me. They're going to see me. This is the will of him that sent me. Same will, speaking to the same people, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him. And I say this, you can't believe on him unless you've seen him, may have everlasting life. Simeon saw him. This old man who ministered about the temple, to whom the Holy Spirit revealed that he would not see death till he'd seen the Lord's Christ. And they brought the baby Jesus into that temple. And that old man took him up in his arms and he lifted his eyes to heaven. He said, now, Lord, let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And he wasn't looking at a vision or some kind of dream or revelation. He wasn't even looking at a cross. He wasn't even looking at a dying figure on a Roman tree. He was looking at a small baby just handed him by a young Jewish maiden. And he said, I've seen the Lord. I've seen the Lord. Thy salvation. Thomas saw him. You remember Thomas' words when they told him, the Lord's risen. The Lord's risen. He said, I don't believe it. I won't believe it unless I can touch the nail prints in his hand and put my hand in his side. And then our Lord appeared to them, and Thomas was present then. And the Lord said, Thomas, reach hither thy hand, and behold my hands and my side, and be not faithless, but believe. And Thomas fell on his face. I don't believe he even reached out. I don't believe he even touched those scars. He fell down on his face and looked up at Christ and said, my Lord and my God, I've seen the Lord. I'm conquered. I'm broken. I've seen the Lord. Peter saw him. Our Lord said, whom do you say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe. I'm sure you're the Son of the living God. The thief saw him. Yeah, he did. The thief on the cross. He was cursing and swearing and speaking harshly against Christ just like that other fellow. But he changed his tune. He changed his tune. Right in the middle of that, he stopped and looked at that other thief and he said, don't you fear God? Seeing we're in the same condemnation, where'd he get that information? He saw the Lord. He saw Christ in his true glory and character. He saw a king on that cross. Everybody else saw a criminal. Everybody else saw a defeated reformer. Everybody else saw a religious martyr. But this thief saw... he saw the Lord. He saw the King hanging there on that cross. He said, Lord, you're not going to stay dead. You're coming into a kingdom because you're a king. You remember me. He saw something. Have you seen the Lord? I'm not talking about a vision. I don't have any use for these folks that are always talking about seeing a vision, seeing a dream and waking in the middle of the night and lights flashing in the room and some physical revelation of Christ. That's too much watermelon before bedtime or pizza or something, you know. because our Lord speaks through His Word and reveals Himself through His Word. And don't you ever think, because you hadn't had one of those kind of visions, that you haven't had a spiritual experience. You see Christ in the Word. And we'll show you that in a moment. The Lord Jesus is revealed in the Word and is seen by faith. By faith. How is this by faith to see Christ? How did Job see the Lord? How do we see the Lord? Well, first of all, when you say, I've seen the Lord, and I believe I can say to you today that I've seen the Lord. I believe I can say that. I've seen the Lord. First of all, this is to see Him in His deity, in His eternal glory. You know, when He prayed in John 17, He said, Father, glorify Me with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. Our Lord Jesus Christ He's not an ambassador or a messenger only. He is God. I wish I could make that as clear as I'd like to make it. I feel so unworthy to speak of this great union of God and men. God and man. God in human flesh. But the Word was made flesh. God became a man. God condescended to come down here and take upon Himself bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh. You say, how can God become a man? I don't know. I can't answer that. I don't know how God can make a world out of nothing, but I believe it. I see it. I'm standing on it. I don't know how God can make the sun come up every morning exactly on time, go down exactly on time, and each star keep from running into each other all the time up there with all these millions and billions of stars, and make all these people and every one of them look different. There's not even a snowflake alike. I don't understand that. And great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in human flesh. How do you expect me to explain that? I just believe it. I've seen Him in His eternal glory and eternal deity. And I've seen Him in His sovereignty. There's nothing He cannot do. I believe that He can do all things. Job said, I know that You can do all things. Old Nebuchadnezzar said, He rules in heaven and upon the earth, and giveth it to whomsoever He will. Christ said, all authority is given unto Me in heaven and earth. I've seen Him in His sovereignty, in His power, in His glory, in His deity, in His greatness, in His eternal suretyship. I've seen Him. I've seen Him in the Scriptures. Every time I open the Scriptures, I see Christ. I see Him yonder in the wilderness, the rock that followed them. I see Him there in the wilderness, the brazen serpent lifted up. I see Him as the blood is splattered on the door in Egypt. I see Him as the bread falls from heaven. I see Him as the rock gives forth the water. I see Him when the Old Testament priest went under the veil. I see Him when the blood flows over that mercy seat and drips down over the broken law. I see Him. I see Him as the incense ascends to heaven. I see Him as the Shekinah glory between the cherubims. I see Him in the table of showbread and the lamp, the candlestick. I see Him in the altar. I see Him in the baptismal waters. I see Him as the bread is broken at the table. I see Him in the Scriptures. And I see Him in His incarnation. This is what Simeon saw. God became a baby. He who made woman was made of a woman. He who made the streams of water cried, I thirst. He who grew that tree from which they made that cross was nailed to that cross. He who put the ore, the iron ore in the ground from which they made those nails that they drove in His hand, He hung on that cross, pinned to that tree which He grew by nails which He made, dying for people He chose, shedding a blood that He assumed, bearing sins that He didn't commit. Ha! Tell you, I've seen Him. I've seen Him. I've seen Him in His active obedience. He went about doing good. Tempted in all points, He knew no sin. I've seen Him. I see Him walking out there on that Judean hillside. I see Him when men hated Him, He didn't hate them back. I've seen when men cursed Him, He didn't curse them back. When the Father put the load upon Him, He bore it willingly. I see Him when He was the greatest presence in the universe, and yet humbled himself and became as a servant. I seen him. Perfect humility. I see him as he loves his enemies, loves them enough to die for them. Oh, what holiness, what active holiness, what unspeakable holiness, what unsearchable righteousness. My Lord and my God, I see him. I see him in his redemptive work. Isaiah saw him. He was wounded for our transgression and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we're healed. Abraham saw him. That far back. Abraham saw my day, Christ said, and he was glad. Moses saw him. Moses sat down and wrote about him, what he saw. Wrote about him. Paul saw him. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I've seen him on the cross. I've seen him take his body and lay it in the tomb like they'll lay mine someday. But that Sunday morning, the stone was rolled away. And those angels said, "What are you looking for the dead, living among the dead for? He's not here. I see him risen. And I see him at the right hand of God." And seeing, listen, that we have such a great high priest. Do what? Seeing we have such a great high priest. Let us come boldly before the throne of grace that we may find mercy and grace to help in time of need. Job, I know what you're talking about. I know exactly what you're talking about. I've heard of him. I heard of him from my parents when I was a little boy. I heard of him from my Sunday school teachers. They didn't do much good, but I heard. I heard of him in the songs. I heard him in the scriptures. I heard him in the winds. I heard him in the waves when I was in the Navy. I heard him. His majesty, his greatness, his power. But one day in the gospel, I saw the Lord. I saw him in his redemptive character and his redemptive grace and his redemptive work. I've seen the Lord. Well, when Job saw the Lord, what else did he see? What else did he see? Well, let's see what he said. He said, "I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now..." Ooh, something happened. "But now, mine eye seeth thee." Thee. "Mine eye seeth thee." I don't see you, preacher. I see you. I see the Lord. "Wherefore, I hate myself." I hate myself. And something else. "I repent." When Isaiah saw the Lord, Isaiah said, "I saw the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. Cherubims and seraphims cried, 'Holy, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty.' And I cried, woe is me, I'm undone, I'm cut off, mine eyes have seen the Lord." Everybody who's ever seen the Lord. Now, I can give you some evidence by which you can determine if you've really seen the Lord, besides the scripture and these other things. If you've ever seen the Lord in his glory and majesty and might and holiness, you've been made to see your guilt and shame and sin as never before. You've been stripped and broken and slain and humbled at his feet, or you've never seen the Lord. I don't care who you are. That's right. I'm okay, you okay stuff doesn't go with those people who've seen the Lord. My positive mental attitude will get me through every trial of life. Not when you've seen the Lord. "Well, I'm just as good as anybody else." Not when you see the Lord. "Well, I'll have you know I'm not a bad fella." Then you haven't seen the Lord. Everybody who sees the Lord cries, "I abhor myself." Now, I know that's contrary to some of what these little sissified preachers are preaching about positive mental attitude and all this other stuff, you know. But I'm reading from the Word of God. Job said, "I've seen the Lord, wherefore I hate myself." You see, now listen to me. God himself is the only true measure of holiness. All have sinned and come short of what? Of the church standard? Of the written law? Of our constitution? Of our confession of faith? No, sir. Of the glory of God. That's the measure of holiness and sin too. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Job said, I've seen the Lord. Before that, before he saw the Lord, he was boasting a whole lot of his righteousness. He was boasting a whole lot of what he'd done, had done, and what he hadn't done. But once he saw the Lord, he said, I put my hand on my mouth. I've spoken things too wonderful for me. I'm not going to speak anymore. I hate myself. I repent. You see, God's perfect glory reveals our shame. God's perfect love reveals our selfishness. You can't see perfect love without seeing you're imperfect in love. God's perfect humility reveals my pride. Now, I can compare myself with others, with some of you or you with me, and we come off looking pretty good because all of us are proud worms. But when we see God's true humility and true mercy, it shows us in our true light. Proud, arrogant, self-righteous people. His holiness, His immaculate holiness, before which even the cherubims and seraphims cover their faces. Even Moses couldn't look on Him. His holiness reveals our sin. You don't know what holiness is, and I don't either. And so many people that call themselves holiness are talking about an outward form and not an inward godliness. His submission reveals our rebellion. His grace reveals our malice. To see God in His holiness is to see myself in my sin. Now watch this verse, Job 33. He looked upon men, and if any can say, I have sinned, and perverted that which is right, and it profiteth me not, he will deliver his soul from going down to the pit, and his life shall see the light. You ever said that? I have sinned. I have sinned. God be merciful to me, a sinner. And He will. He may reveal Christ to you. That's my prayer, is that He will reveal Christ. And you'll be able to say, I've seen the Lord. I've seen the Lord. Now, we have these messages on a cassette tape. One's called Eternal Questions. The other entitled, Have You Seen the Lord? Write to me. The address will be given to you by the announcer. Send $2. That's what it cost us to get the tape, make it, send it to you, pay the postage and all that. Until next week, God bless you, everyone.